Tri-County Contracting, worry-free roofing, siding, and windows. To sign up for a free estimate, get info on their worry-free roof tune-up or their free yearly roof inspections, or to get an instant roof quote, visit them online at tricountycontractingwi.com.
Rather foolish here talking about it this much, but because the overwhelming impression I get in my district is just move on, folks. Like, talk about something important.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, this is Wisconsin's Morning News. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Petrano.
Today in New York, world leaders at the United Nations General Assembly. The big speech today from Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky. Expected to hear a lot more of this.
Russia can only be forced into peace. And that is exactly what's needed, forcing Russia into peace as the sole aggressor in this war, the sole violator of the UN Charter.
And President Zelensky on Tuesday there speaking with members of the UN Security Council, which interestingly does include Russia, right? So the Russian Federation is there, and they're listening to this about how they have to be pushed back, and they're these terrible aggressors.
You think that's awkward?
Yeah, it has to be, like
all
a little bit.
Stand there, yeah.
What is the proper facial expression to give when?
Yeah, you don't want to smile too much.
You want to smile?
Or
you
nod,
want to be
or
shaking it off? Oh, that's preposterous.
Scoff.
Oh,
he might be scoffing.
Zelensky continuing to appeal to nations of the world to back Ukraine in that war against Russia, now 2.5 years in. Zelensky also expected to meet this week with President Biden in Washington, Vice President Kamala Harris, and former President Donald Trump. As to the aforementioned, President Biden.
One last time. Relax, have a drink with me. One last time. Let's take a break.
The president took to the dais of the UN General Assembly. One last time, He did address his only recent decision to drop out of the presidential race, clearing the way for Vice President Harris to assume the Democrats' nomination.
As much as I love the job, I love my country more. I decided after 50 years of public service, it's time for a new generation of leadership to take my nation forward.
President also calling on the UN to reform, to expand the Security Council, and to be more effective on the world stage.
Our UN ambassador just laid out our detailed vision to reflect today's world, not yesterday's. It's time to move forward. The Security Council, like the UN itself, needs to go back to the job of making peace, of brokering deals to end wars and suffering.
Yeah, many continue to argue the UN a mere paper tiger at this point, with little authority to actually influence anything on the world stage anymore, if it ever had. President, today is going to be on The View.
Yes. First time in history that a sitting president will be live on The View.
I thought he was on there with those ladies one time.
Live?
I see.
There have been recorded interviews before. No, former President Obama has been on a recorded interview with The View. But no, Commander-in-Chief will be there live this morning on The View.
Last time.
For an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk.
A nice, easy win for your Milwaukee Brewers.
3-2 pitch. And a ground ball back up the middle and under the glove of York and into center field. Hoskins is in. Frelick is jogging around third. He will score. It is a two-run single for Joey Ortiz, and the Brewers take a 3-0 lead here in the second.
Yeah, Brewers would chip in a few more throughout the night. They would win 7-2. Starter Tobias Myers gave up 2 over 4 innings, 6 hits, 2 walks, not his best.
It was planned to be short. Yeah, it was planned to be short, shorter. And it was planned that Colin Ray would get in the game.
Yeah, skipper there, Pat Murphy. So, yeah, just 4 innings, but that's the issue. They're just trying to ramp everybody up. Not sure where everyone's going to go yet in the postseason. Myers will be part of the rotation. Colin Ray, they're not quite certain yet, so they just want to make sure they're giving them the right amount of innings here.
They hit dude pretty hard. I mean,
yeah,
even the ones that didn't fall, I mean, there were a lot of hits, plus a lot of long outs, a lot of, listening to the game, a lot of, at the yeah. Bad caught, okay.
Right. Murphy mentioned that a few times, that he got hit pretty hard. We'll get that at 6:45. Let's see, Freddy Peralta on the mound today, his final tune-up before the postseason. Meanwhile, good news in the hunt for the 2 seed. In the postseason, both the Dodgers and the Phillies lost. The Dodgers fell to the Padres. Get this. A triple play that would end it, and it clinched a playoff spot for the Pods.
Rojas on the ground at third. Machado touches third, fires to second. Out there, out at first. Oh, my goodness. It's a triple play. It ends the ball game. The San Diego Padres have clinched their spot in the postseason after a magical 2024 campaign. Will this finally be the year for the faithful?
Okay. Congratulations to the Padres. That audio courtesy of MLB. Craig Counsell, by the way, was seen making a shape of a heart with his hands and mouthing the words, "Love you, Murph," after the Cubs beat the Phillies. I'm kidding. He didn't do any of that. But the Cubs
You're
did,
welcome.
The Cubs did beat the Phillies. So now the Dodgers and Phillies both have 93 wins. The Brewers have 90. So they got work to do yet. Three back now still. So here we go. Same teams tonight right here on WTMJ.
Get dressed. You're playing golf today.
No, I'm not, Grandpa. I'm playing tennis.
You're playing golf, and you're going to like it.
Five USGA national championships, all coming to Erin Hills Golf Course in Washington County over the next 15 years. United States Golf Association Chief Championships Officer in town this week to make the announcement.
We recognize greatness when we see it, and we've always felt that this is a very special place.
That's John Bodenhammer speaking with Greg Matzik and myself. We were out there. Now, all of these championships are amateur competitions. They're a big deal in the golf world. They'll bring players from all over and will, in some cases, feature the future stars of the game. But what about the majors? Erin Hills will host the U.S. Women's Open next spring. But beyond that, next available date for a major for the men or for the women that could possibly be awarded to Erin Hills would be 2043.
There's every opportunity for that to happen again. I think it's just a matter of how things unfold here, what the ownership, it's not just our decision, it's what the ownership wants to do as well. The state of Wisconsin, Erin, Wisconsin, but sure, absolutely.
Well, we're available.
Yeah. Sure. I think you heard Andy and Jim say amateur golf is important to them. It's who plays here day in and day out.
Yeah, USGA loves that Erin Hills is a public course. It's expensive, but anybody can go out there and play and walk the steps of the champions. Loves that they're willing to host these amateur events, which is really most of what the USGA does. Future for Wisconsin as a major championship state remains this morning an open question.
I bet you slice into the woods $100.
Brett Favre posting on X late Tuesday. Thank you for the love. This after dropping an absolute bombshell earlier in the day. The NFL Hall of Famer and Packers legend thanking everyone for their support after revealing that he is suffering from Parkinson's disease. He did so during testimony at a House hearing over wasteful spending on Capitol Hill.
Sadly, I also lost an investment in a company that I believed was developing a breakthrough concussion drug I thought would help others. And I'm sure you'll understand why it's too late for me, because I've recently been diagnosed with Parkinson's. This is also a cause dear to my heart.
Parkinson's, a degenerative brain condition that causes problems with movement, mental health, sleep, pain, and other issues. This is what actor Michael J. Fox has, and this is what boxer Muhammad Ali suffered from.
In general, repeated hits to the head are linked to neurodegenerative diseases.
So that is a neurologist, Dr. Leah Kroll.
Concussions and even subconcussive hits can alter brain structure and chemistry.
So there is an expectation and an assumption that Favre suffers from Parkinson's because of all the head trauma he suffered through the years of playing so much football. Says he hit his head multiple times. He can't even count how many times he's been concussed or how many times he's banged his head off the turf.
Well, neither can we fans, but right? We remember, like, you know, Tausch talked about his durability. Well, that was the thing of, like, well, he could take a hit and he was still out there.
And his announcement comes as a new survey finds 1 in 3 former NFL players believe they have the neurodegenerative disease CTE. So oftentimes when you hear about brain injuries and just head trauma from former players or current players, it's CTE is what you hear about. Now, this I thought was interesting. So Dr. John Raymond from the Medical College of Wisconsin, he's the president over there. He's on Wisconsin's Afternoon News from time to time. And he says, as of now, still got to learn more about whether or not you can actually directly connect playing football to what happened to Favre with Parkinson's.
Even though it seems to make sense, there's very little data linking Parkinson's disease directly with head trauma or football injuries. So his linking of his football injuries to Parkinson's needs a lot more exploration.
Which you would understand that from a scientist to say, look, like you got to keep looking at different trends. You have to read the numbers to understand if there is a direct link there. Raymond says Parkinson's has a higher prevalence in men and genetic and even environmental pollution exposure, which can increase the risk of the diagnosis.
There was a recent study, like within the last several years, that found a link. Now, again, like to Raymond's point, one study doesn't necessarily establish that as fact. You need to study upon right. that. But there, you know, Favre didn't make this up. You know, it didn't come from nowhere. There is a study out there that actually showed a link that even one concussion puts you far more predisposed to Parkinson's than had you not had that.
Now, Favre hasn't given any indication as to how advanced the disease is. He did post on X, though, that the diagnosis has been an ordeal. ESPN Wisconsin's Mark Telscher, our buddy, we chat with him every day at 7:50. He was teammates with Favre for 7 seasons in Titletown. The news broke during his show, Wilde and Tausch on 94.5.
We kind of looked at Brett as indestructible and you know, always there for you as a teammate. And I hope for Brett and Deanna and everybody else that they, you know, can manage. And hopefully there's continues to be research and things that will help people deal and live with that in a much better way than what we have. But it's just brutal, brutal news.
I should mention Favre was in D.C. discussing welfare fraud and wasteful spending. Of course, he's been accused of some of that, hasn't faced any charges with it, but out of Mississippi, some wasteful spending there.
I feel like that case ought to come to resolution at some point. We, you know, whether positive or negative for Favre, like we should really learn the extent of his possible involvement in that so they can clear that cloud and he can get on to dealing with this health diagnosis. Brewers get a little help, but it's still a long shot to get that first round bye in the playoffs. We'll break it down at sports at 6:45.
The Kurter Burger returns. Remember this? The Culver's Kurter Burger. It was like an April Fool's joke, but then it actually became.
But then everyone was like, I want that.
Yeah. Burger topped with fried cheese curd crown made of yellow and white cheddar cheese curds surrounded by seasoned breadcrumbs. It was a joke, but then it became a real thing. So it's coming back. And the State Journal's got the story that the first Kurter Burger brought a single-day sales record of 20% to locations across the area. Like, every location did well. So here's the twist.
Oh, because that wasn't good enough.
This year, the Kurter Burgers will be available October 1st to the 14th, followed by an added twist, the debut of Hot Honey Cheese Curds from the 15th to the 31st. At Culver's, October means Wisconsin cheese curds, and this year we want to bring our guests the best celebration of the curds yet. We've championed the curds, and now they're going to have the hot honey cheese curds offered starting October 15th.
Is that the side you get when you're already getting the Kurter Burger?
Well, it can be now, right?
But if it wasn't. Like, that's a lot of curd.
We can't wait to see everyone's response to the new hot honey cheese curds and the continued love for the Kurter Burger throughout the month.
For a limited time only. 6:38 on Wisconsin's Morning News.
Well, we have some news regarding your favorite flag of the city of Milwaukee, the People's Flag, of course. Can I just give you a spoiler on it? I'm just going to play one. This will let you know how it went. You want to know what that is?
I think I know. Is the can been kicked down the road?
Yes, the can has been kicked.
Bureaucracy, legislation, red tape.
I'm so bored.
Doesn't anything fun happen here?
When you work for the local government, doing the bare minimum is doing your part.
It's time to take another visit to City Hall.
Okay, so Tuesday was to be the day the council would potentially pass the People's Flag as the new official flag of the city. Of course, the blue and yellow flag with the circle in the middle. It's the sun rising over the lake. A lot of people call it the People's Flag. It's just a lot of people call it the Milwaukee flag because that's what they think it is.
Potentially pass or not.
Yeah, right.
Or say no. Yeah, we don't want this. Yeah.
Alderman Burgess says the flag is for the people. He's the one pushing this.
I think Milwaukee can benefit from having a unifying symbol that represents all of Milwaukee that everyone can use and adapt for their own people.
Well, see, that's the debate. We fundamentally disagree. We believe it's people. We don't.
Uh-oh. Alderman Stamper, not going for it.
The flag is coined the people's flag, but honestly, which people? Who people? Not mine. So how can we coin it the people's flag?
So Stamper doesn't like it. He doesn't think the process of creating this flag was inclusive enough to reach out to every aspect of the city. He doesn't like it. Neither does Alderman Bauman, who disliked the grassroots efforts that were made to actually create this flag.
The process was very self-selected. It wasn't even initiated by the city. It was initiated by private individuals who took it upon themselves to decide that the city needed a new flag. They solicited quite on their own, entirely through private channels, very self-selected channels, to conduct a design competition.
That's funny, a little bit, though.
Oh,
like,
how dare they? The people who live here come up with a suggestion for you all on high at City Hall. How dare they?
Amazing. So Alderman Spiker's like, enough.
I think we're making ourselves look rather foolish here talking about it this much. But because the overwhelming impression I get in my district is just move on, folks. Like, talk about something important.
Okay. Alderman Zamarripa, she says it's time to move on with this as well.
I feel that it's been referencing going back to a process that would cost some amount, and I feel like the constituents have already told us they don't want to spend any more time and resources on this.
So we vote on just
okay.
Because we want to
hold on, Alderman. Hold on, Alderman Chambers. Are you done?
Thank you, Mr.
Okay, Mayor. Alderman Chambers.
So we just vote on stuff because we're tired of voting on stuff? Like, what? Where does that do that? Why are we elected then if we do that?
So it went on.
It's like
and
off
on.
The rails now.
So they tried to send it back to committee, and they failed. 8-7. So they couldn't send it back to committee because Bauman's saying, let's actually create a process. And they've said that before. So that failed. So now you had to vote on it, and it was likely going to come down 8-7, which some aldermen were frustrated by because they say that's too divisive when it should be 15-0 that everyone wants to enact this new flag. Then Alderman Coggs asked a very important question. What about the fiscal note?
Is there a fiscal note, and why is it not attached?
Do we have an answer to that? LRB or?
If there's a fiscal impact to any legislation, it should be a fiscal note attached prior to us voting.
Correct.
Yeah, so because there's no fiscal note, they decided, well, let's just vote to keep it in council. And you only need 3 yeses for that. So that's what's happened. Now they'll keep it in council at least until October. Who knows if they'll take it up in October, but that is where it is scheduled to go now. So nothing changes.
Look, I'm on record as saying I like the flag. I think it'd be a great city flag. That's fine. Disagree. Vote no, and then let's be done. And we keep the old flag. But like this... Right, continuing process.
Yep. And that's what we do. That's what we do. And I think that's what some of the aldermen were admitting was kind of annoying to hear about. But here.
Kick it again. You got it one more time?
Oh, we can hear. Yeah, you can kick it again. There you go.
The Brewers Hunt for Brew October on WTMJ is sponsored by Delta Dental. Time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk.
That's how you do it. Nice, easy win for the crew in a wet Pittsburgh. They beat the Pirates 7-2 on Tuesday night, and they even gained some ground. The Phillies and the Dodgers both lose. So Tobias Myers gave up 2 runs over 4 innings. He was your starter. 6 hits. He was hit fairly hard, Skip.
He didn't obviously do his best. He got hit hard, you know. There's a bunch of balls 100 miles an hour or more off him. A little unusual.
Pat Murphy there. So basically that was the plan, though, to have him go 4 innings. They also wanted to get Colin Ray some time, and they did. So this is the plan moving forward, is where are you going to put everybody? Tobias likely going to start in the postseason, but they just want to have him in these shorter outings because that's going to be likely what he'll go.
You think he's your number 2, right? If Freddie goes first, game 2, you go Myers?
Could be, yeah. And then Code Red will probably be your long guy in the pen. So Peralta goes tonight as they tune him up for the postseason. And like I said, Dodgers and Phillies both lose. They have 93 wins. The Brewers currently have 90 wins. I have this to share with you quickly. So Lorenzo Cain, all-time Brewers great, right? June of 22, the Brewers DFA'd him, essentially cutting him, but they waited until a specific day in June, the same day he reached 10 years of MLB service. Why? Because at that point, the player's pensions are fully vested. So they did him a solid. They could have cut
secured
him earlier,
helped
right?
him secure his future.
Pretty neat little moment there, David Stearns and the crew doing that. I bring it up because former Brewers first baseman Rowdy Tellez was DFA'd by the Pirates this week. The season's almost over. And he has just 4 plate appearances shy of a hefty roster bonus. He needed 425 appearances. He got 421. So they cut him.
Deliberately.
Could have had him play one more. And does he need an extra $200,000? I'm sure he's doing fine financially. But just pay attention to that kind of stuff. Players notice. So when you have a team like the Crew doing what they do for their players, the union and the players notice that kind of stuff.
That's
just wanted
point.
To pass that out there.
Special screening of the 1982 Brewers documentary Just a Bit Outside tonight with featured guest number 17, Jim Gantner.
It's great to have still have fans, and, you know, we've been out of baseball for quite a few years, but the fans are awesome.
And we're talking with Jimmy Gantner at the film's world premiere earlier this month. He's going to do a Q&A after the film. It's showing tonight at the Marcus Ridge Cinema in New Berlin. Gantner and the rest of the crew, like, really embracing the love from the fans, even young fans who didn't originally see them play.
You're too young here to know Jim Gantner.
No, I wasn't able to see him play, but he's definitely been one of my favorites, you know, growing up. So.
How do you like that, Jim?
Thank you very much. Really, yeah. I had to pay that guy.
Marcus Ridge Cinema in New Berlin, 6:25 is the showtime. That's followed by the Q&A with Jim Gantner tonight. Six 6:53 on Wisconsin's Morning News. Wednesday morning, that means we got Dr. Ken Harris, host of the afternoon show on 101.7 The Truth and former Milwaukee police lieutenant, in this house. I want to talk to you about, they're two separate issues, but they're both affecting young people. We had the story today about students in Wisconsin saying they don't feel safe at school, and I don't blame them. You had the incident at Nathan Hale the other day where they freaked out over a perceived threat. Students did right, but they reported it, evacuated the school.
All right.
You also have this situation where students, sometimes as young as 10, 12 years old, sometimes from out of state.
Like the girl in Arizona.
Yes. Are phoning in threats to schools elsewhere.
All right.
So there are a couple of things that leave students unsettled. Let's do the last part first. What is corrupting, or how are these young people being corrupted somewhere online to phone in threats at schools far away from where they live?
They're just bored. And there's nothing to do. And they see someone else do it. And see, we have these people on TikTok and Facebook. Well, I don't know. Kids aren't on Facebook anymore.
Discord IG, is another
Discord,
sewer where they
Snapchat,
hang out.
Snapchat, WhatsApp, right? Influencing you. So you think it's cute that people are influencers, but we forget that what influencers do is influence. And so when they say they're going to do it and it's fun and it looks like they didn't get in trouble, well, then I'll do it too. Not really realizing that your IP address, unless you have a virtual network, they're going to find you. And they found her.
Separate issue is what happened at Nathan Hale last week. So you had a student who made an offhanded comment. I got word from West Allis Police Department that they didn't think the student was deliberately trying to disrupt the school day, but just said something stupid. And he's going to face a charge in children's court.
Well,
also got
dumb.
A citation.
That's dumb.
That's you think?
Dumb. Like, people are going, yeah, we know this kid made a silly comment. And everybody else took it as a silly comment. But you had one person that went, oh, my God, we got to do something about it. Well, how's that the kid's fault? I mean, kids are kids. At some point, we have to let kids be kids. But where does it cross the line? It crossed the line when you send something 1,400 miles to a school that you've never been to in South Milwaukee and say, you know, here's a threat. I get that. But then you have to look at it like, how's this kid going to actually, what, a 12-year-old's going to get on a plane and fly from Buckhead to South Milwaukee and blow up the school? Like, put it in context. But now we just hammer everybody. That's not going to be a deterrent. As long as we have the internet, it's never going to be a deterrent.
So even though you could argue it was a joke, and defining a joke I think is really difficult depending on who's hearing or
yeah, 'cause everybody's sensitive.
Right.
Now, so.
But the idea of a very strict punishment, the fear of that won't prevent people from trying something in the future, you don't think?
Let me see. We've punished kids in the past. We've had more in this week, right, than we've had in the last year. I don't think so.
It's difficult because it's a teenage brain, and I could spend three programs detailing the ridiculous stuff I did. As you know, right? We all have that in our past, but like, there's not room
perfect.
For that anymore, though. Isn't it tantamount to making a bomb joke at airport security, which probably there was a time where people thought that was funny, and now we've since realized like that is not a spot to do that. You better check yourself.
Right. Yeah, but I think we've gone so overboard. I think.
I don't know how to say that. I think 9/11 ruined us.
Well, not just 9/11. Look at how many schools have shootings. I mean, that's why they react the way they do, right? That's why we go, quote unquote, overboard on a punishment or a reaction.
So how many school shootings have there been?
It's this week, this year? What are you asking?
How many actual school shootings have there been?
I have no idea.
And so that's what happens. So people have this perception that it's happening a lot. But what you have today is social media. And when social media, you know, when we were in school, like it's no longer what's hotter than hot, right? It used to be a hot medium and a cool medium, took time for you to get the news. Rates haven't gone up. We hear about it like this. So now there's this perception, oh my gosh, everybody's dying. Just like they had with black males being killed by the police. There were literally less. But the fact that you hear about it instantly, it seems like the rate is higher, and it's really not. So somebody needs to dive into that and really take a look at the fact that school shootings have been happening since the 1950s. We're now hearing about it every day because now when it happens in Nashville, did anybody even care about Nashville? Now we care about Nashville because it's on the news 5 minutes later because it's on social media.
I don't know. To suggest that what's happened over the last 20 years is the same as what may have happened a few times in the 60s or in 1958, mm-hmm. I don't know if that's fair.
No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that you know about it faster, so it seems like it's more. Homicides in Milwaukee are down. But if you look in the news, it's shooting, 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 shooting. Oh, my God, crime is terrible. But when you look at the actual numbers, it's not true. But because the frequency is so high and so fast, you get a shooting and 47 minutes later, I got a whole story. We used to have to wait till the next day.
Right, to read about it.
Now we have it like this. And now it seems like, oh, there's a lot when there's actually less. We were at 100 homicides. Last year, we were at 120. But people
in the
don't
city
know
of
that.
Milwaukee.
In the city of Milwaukee. And they don't know that because what? Because they hear about it so much, they just think people are just dying all over the streets. And they're not.
Dr. Ken Harris, host of the Afternoon Show on 101.7 The Truth. Thanks, Ken.
Thank you.